Live all across the United States and Canada, the Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff is on the air. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, we desire to equip the body of Christ to defend the truth of the gospel, the reliability of the Bible, and give reasons for the historic Christian faith because truth matters. To find out more about the Christian Research Institute, the Christian Research Journal, Hank Hanegraaff, or great resources we recommend, go to our website, www.equip.org. To ask Hank a question on air, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We'll go to our callers in just a moment. But before we do, I want to talk about the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. You've probably heard me speak about this incredible resource, and it is available to you through the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Best way to order in a safe, secure fashion is simply go to the World Wide Web at equip.org and order online. You can also order via the mail. That address, Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, resource consultants are standing by. The number 888-7000 and the letter CRI. The cover story in the current hot-off-the-press new edition of the Christian Research Journal, Should Christians Attend Same-Sex Weddings? There's a pro and there's a con. It gives you the ability to discern by reading the article and testing all things, holding fast to that which is good. Also, the politics of abortion and should Christians vote straight ticket by Elliot Miller. He's editor-in-chief of the Christian Research Journal. I also did an article that I'm extremely excited about. It's titled, Did Daniel Accurately Predict a Succession of Nations? And I think this is important because one of the most significant demonstrations that the Bible is divine rather than merely human in origin is the undeniable reality that the prophet Daniel, who was writing 6 centuries before the advent of Christ, was empowered by Almighty God to do what no soothsayer, no astrologer could. With awe-inspiring precision, he predicted a succession of nations from Babylon through the Median, through the Persian empires to the terrifying, the frightening, and very powerful kingdom of Greece, which crushed and devoured its victims, which trampled underfoot whatever was left. Daniel foresaw the mighty Alexander the Great, who suddenly burst into history, who traversed the whole earth without touching the ground, as we see in chapter 8, verse 5, and shattered the Medo-Persian forces and left a horrifying legacy that culminated in the persecution and suffering of the Jews under the 2nd century Greco-Syrian beast Antiochus IV Epiphanes, including that despot's desecration of the Jerusalem temple, his untimely death, and then freedom for the Jews under Judas Maccabeus. Moreover, as Daniel looked down the quarter of time, he got a glimpse of a kingdom that will itself endure forever. Truly, the succession of nations immortalized by the book of Daniel is a surpassingly spectacular star in the constellation of biblical prophecy. Now, biblical prophecy, of course, is not designed to help us pin the tail on a modern 21st century Antichrist. It's not designed to pinpoint a future tribulation. Prophetic stars in the constellation of biblical prophecy are powerful proofs that God has spoken, that the Bible is divine rather than merely human in origin. As God himself put it, I told you these things long ago before they happened. I announced them to you so that you could not say, my idols did them. My wooden image, my metal god ordained them. Or as Jesus put it, I've told you now before it happens so that when it does happen, you will believe. Counterfeit prophecy stars have one thing in common. They're consistently wrong. In a lumen contrast, genuine prophecy stars are infallibly correct. And unlike the pretenders, their prophetic prowess cannot be pawned off to good luck, to good guessing, or to deliberate deceit. Again, the article, The Succession of Nations, which demonstrates the Bible is divine as opposed to merely human in origin, in the current edition of the Christian Research Journal, cutting-edge issues you don't want to miss out on. You can subscribe in a safe, secure fashion again on the World Wide Web at equip.org. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone lines. First up is James, listening in Baltimore, Maryland, on the World Wide Web. Hi, James.
How you doing today, Brother Hank?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Thank you. My question is, do I have to be rebaptized as a Christian?
Well, when you become a Christian, you want to be baptized, absolutely. If you were baptized in any other strain, whether cultic or world religion, when you become a Christian, what you're saying in essence is, I am now committing my life to Jesus Christ. And while baptism doesn't save you, it does set you apart as one of his disciples and as a living stone in the temple of God. And it is a testimony not only to the believing world, but the unbelieving world, that you have taken up your cross and you're daily following Jesus Christ. Of course, in the first century, when someone was baptized, they did so in explicit denial of Caesar. They were commissioned to say Caesar is Lord, but they were called to say Christ is Lord, and that is precisely what they did in their baptism.
Well, my reason is because I was baptized in 1987 in a Christian church because I came out of Islam. Upon reading the Bible, I said to the Lord, if this Bible is true, then I accept you as my Lord and Savior under the condition that I could still have an Islam practice in my life, and that was to have as many women as I could afford. And I did that up until, well, I've never changed up until the August the 13th of this year. Upon rereading the Bible, I made another decision to accept Jesus Christ based solely on what he did on the cross for me. That's why I asked this question, because I view him differently today as opposed to I did in the past with that compromise that I brought to him. I come to him without any compromise on my part.
And no conditions, yeah. Wonderful, yeah. Get rebaptized, absolutely, and express your unreserved commitment to Jesus Christ. You're not doing him a favor by accepting him, but you are receiving him as Savior and Lord, and now he does the unthinkable. He replaces your sin with his grace and goodness and with his righteousness.
Okay, and can you give me some good things to read about Christianity? Because I'm going to a church now and it's talking about tithes and offerings and how a person could be cursed if they don't pay their tithes and offerings. And then when I bring up the fact that I stopped smoking cigarettes because I don't believe it's Christian conduct, and they tell me that it is my self-righteousness. That's what they denote to. And every time I try to talk about things that as a Christian that we ought not to practice, then they say, well, that's under the law. It seems like they don't take, or we as Christians don't take any responsibility to discipline ourselves. And the reason I did that is because I'm smoking, because I read Ephesians that said, don't quench the Holy Spirit and don't grieve the Holy Spirit. So I think that I was grieving and quenching the Holy Spirit. So I decided to make that decision based on the scriptures.
Wonderful, James. And the resource that I would recommend is the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, which has just about every answer that you could want in terms of learning how to live the Christian life to which you have committed yourself, and it even deals with this whole issue of tithe.
Okay, and I thank you very much for that.
You got it. It is available, as always, on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Reagan next. Tulsa, Oklahoma, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Reagan.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I am blessed.
Amen.
My question is about depression.
Yeah.
Is it more of a mental disorder, disease, whatever you want to call it, or is it more of a spiritual thing, like a demonic, you know, attacking, or a combination of both, or what's your take on that?
Well, it depends. I mean, it certainly could be something that is spurred on, as it were, by physical issues. It could also be spiritual / psychological. And that's why you have to get a careful diagnosis to know which it is by someone who is competent. Because if it's physiological, you want a physiological remedy. You want to pursue that. If it is spiritual / mental, you want to make sure you deal with it in a spiritual way.
Okay.
So, the issue is diagnosis.
Okay. Because I've had a, you know, certain incident happen to me about 3 weeks ago, and ever since then, it just felt like I've just been tormented.
Yeah.
And I go to my church, or I go to my aunt's church. I mean, she invited me to go, and I've been going, and, you know, I've read my Bible every day, and when there's certain instances, like I feel like I'm shaking down, I got a little book that a friend of mine gave me. It says God's Promises, and instead of trying to look up the scripture, you can just look up the word of what you're going through. Like, if you feel depressed, just go to this page and look up that particular scripture. And then I also keep my other Bible just to read the scriptures, you know, around that. And when I read that, it's like that sinking feeling that I get into, I immediately get lifted up.
Well, that's wonderful. You know, it's wonderful. I mean, this is one of the things that I teach all the time, that we should mine the scriptures, we should meditate upon the scriptures, and we should memorize the scriptures, so that when we are attacked spiritually, the word of God is as close as our lips. I mean, it's written on the canvas of our consciousness, and it comes to our aid. Certainly, the Holy Spirit could give you a scripture verse you'd ever memorized, but it's unlikely they will. And that's why, again, I think it's transcendently important for you to do the things that you are doing, and I heartily commend that. This is, you know, Christianity doesn't give us a peaceful way to come to terms with the difficulties of life, but it does give us something far better, a way to overcome them. And one of the means of grace, and you're partaking in that means of grace, is getting into the Word of God and getting the Word of God into you. So good for you.
So, I guess my other question is, you know, knowing that that's like, you know, getting that feeling, then I get the scripture, I get lifted up, and it's just like a couple of days, a week, or whatever. It's just like it gets hit again. It's like,
well, welcome to the real world. I mean, this is the reality of not only Christians, but people in general. This life is one problem after the other, and I don't mean to be morose or morbid, but that's just the way it is. And Christianity doesn't get rid of the problems. What it does is it teaches us a way by which we can overcome them. And that overcoming is by looking forward to a time in which there'll be no more death, mourning, crying, or pain. For the old order of things has passed away. Behold, all things have become new. In the meantime, we continue to struggle. And we don't ultimately know whether it's the world, the flesh, or the devil. And I don't even think it's important for us to know that. What it is significant to do, however, is to put on the full armor of God so that we can take our stand against principalities and powers of darkness. I've written about this and also written about the means by which you can partake of the means of grace in a book called The Covering, God's Plan to Protect You from Evil that book available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. If you hang on, we can get a copy out to you. Otherwise, you order at equip.org or via the mail at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, and I've mentioned this many times, resource consultant standing by at 888-7000 CRI. And as we go to break, do want to mention that this is a ministry supported by listeners just like you. For your gift all this month, my sneak peek preview booklet, Life After Life After Life. It's based on my upcoming book that'll be out in about 6 months. Check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. We'll be right back with more answers.
You're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We'll be back live in just a few moments. Here's Hank again with a special offer.
Are you a Christian looking for a phenomenal Bible app? The Word of Promise Bible app may be exactly what you've been looking for. You'll experience the Bible like never before. This free app includes the entire New King James Bible text with powerful search capabilities. For example, you can look for a word like love, and every verse that includes love will appear. Also included is the entire 2-hour audio gospel of John featuring world-renowned actors. This 2-hour audio gospel of John is fully dramatized with sound effects, with an original music score, and is synchronized to the text so that as you hear this powerful audio theater, the text appears verse by verse. Receive your free Word of Promise Bible app today at equip.org.
We'll return with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast after this. It seems like a no-brainer. If God is a God of love, there's no way He'd condemn anyone to suffer eternally in hell simply for not believing in Jesus, right? Christians who believe in an eternal hell have been accused of following a cruel and unjust God. Millions of atheists claim it's the reason they can't embrace Christianity. Do we need to abandon the concept of hell? Hank's new book, Afterlife, to be released next spring, answers this and many other questions about our eternal future. But because you need to be equipped now with answers about hell, we're offering you a sneak peek booklet, Life After Life After Life, for your ministry support today. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is entirely listener supported, so your gift matters. Be one of the first to have your copy of Life After Life After Life. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. The first century AD, a time of tribulation and terror as the Roman Empire descended on Jerusalem and the prophecies of Jesus and the book of Revelation came shockingly true before believers' very eyes. Now, this period of persecution, prophecy, and perseverance comes to life for you in a new work of fiction, The Last Temple. The long-anticipated completion of The Last Disciple trilogy by Hank Hanegraaff and Sigmund Brauer. You'll understand why Revelation's apocalyptic language was perfectly appropriate for these horrifying days and gain new courage to live out your faith in our own troubled times. The Last Temple is our thank you for your gift today. For your gift of $100 or more, we'll send you the whole Last Disciple trilogy. So please partner with us today by calling 888-7000-CRI or visiting equip.org.
Are you a Christian looking for a phenomenal Bible app? The Word of Promise Bible app may be exactly what you've been looking for. You'll experience the Bible like never before. This free app includes the entire New King James Bible text with powerful search capabilities. For example, you can look for a word like love, and every verse that includes love will appear. Also included is the entire 2-hour audio gospel of John featuring world-renowned actors. This 2-hour audio gospel of John is fully dramatized with sound effects, with an original music score, and is synchronized to the text so that as you hear this powerful audio theater, the text appears verse by verse. Receive your free Word of Promise Bible app today at equip.org.
Hank's new book, Afterlife, will be off the presses in the spring, but you don't have to wait to learn his Bible-based answers to some of today's most controversial questions about life after death. In appreciation for your ministry support today, we'll send you a sneak peek booklet, Life After, Life After Life. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is entirely listener-supported, so your gift today means more of the straight talk about the tough issues you've come to depend on. Go online now to equip.org or call 888-7000-CRI. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and right back to our phone callers. Next up is Matt listening in Missouri on Bot Radio. Hi, Matt.
Hi, how are you, Hank?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. My question is, what would be a good recommendation for a returning Christian who knows a bit about the Bible but wants to just start reading the Bible every day? Would it be recommended by you to start just at the New Testament, starting with Matthew and going forward from there?
Well, I think it's a good idea. Absolutely. But I would also add a chapter of Proverbs a day. And I'd work your way through the Psalms as well. And then you'll have sort of a full-orbed experience.
Okay. The reason why I'm asking is because, I figured starting with the New Testament, because we are living in the New Testament age of Christ, and, you know, we're more bound by New Testament rules than we are Old Testament. And, again, I've listened to your show. I know that we do still have to abide by the Old Testament rules, but, you know, the New Testament is more applicable to what we are in now. That's why I figured I'd start there. So,
well, a couple of things, though, about that, Matt, before we conclude the conversation. I think it's really important that we don't neglect the Old Testament. It's not a matter of rules. What it is a matter of is that you cannot fully understand the New Testament without understanding the Old Testament, because the New Testament writers oftentimes are quoting directly from the Old Testament writers. And oftentimes they do so in truncated fashion. In other words, they're just quoting a portion. And they're assuming that you know the whole. And if you just get that snippet and don't have the context that is provided by the Old Testament, you can get a skewed view of what's being communicated. I think it's really important to follow what's called the analogy of faith. You have to interpret the cloudy in light of the clear. In addition to that, though, the sum of the Bible is very important to comprehend. You can't understand the Bible as a whole without understanding its individual parts, nor its individual parts without understanding the Bible as a whole. So while there's a good place to dip your toe back in, and I would agree that the Gospels are wonderful in that regard, I wouldn't neglect the whole counsel of God. So, I actually have a legacy reading plan that gets you a wonderful way of going through the Word of God in such a way that all of it makes sense. And that legacy reading plan you can access on the World Wide Web at equip.org.
Yeah, I'd love to check that out, simply because I've always had a huge problem with faith, and that's why I broke away from my Christianity a long time ago, and due to recent events, I had to come back to it. But that would be great. I'll have to check that out.
Okay. Wonderful.
Thank you very much, sir.
You got it. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to David Winston, Salem, North Carolina, WTRU. Hi, David.
Hey, Hank. How are you?
Good, thank you.
There's a lot of extra biblical evidence or evidence outside of the Bible for Christ, you know, having existed and that sort of thing, like Josephus and Tacitus and so forth, talking about him in their writings. But recently a lady gave me a book called the Archco Volume. Are you familiar with that?
Yes.
Is that a reliable extra-biblical resource in terms of that, or is that pretty much just fiction?
Well, it's fraudulent. That's the F word I would use for it. It's a fraudulent document that purports to contain the account of Jesus' last days on earth from the perspective of the shepherds or Pilate or Herod or Antipas or Caiaphas and the like, contemporaries. But there are a lot of problems with it. Historical mistakes, clear evidences of plagiarism, translations mistakes, and the list goes on. So certainly not anything that you would want to put any weight or stock in.
Okay. Very good. Now, I have one small little question. I didn't tell your screener, but I don't think you'll mind. Can you be a Christian and be afraid of death?
Well, I think that one of the things that you recognize as a Christian is that death no longer has the sting. The sting has been taken out of death as a direct result of resurrection. But we're all at different levels of maturity in the faith. And so I don't think it is inconsistent with a Christian conviction to sometimes falter in your faith. I think that you see that not only in the biblical writers themselves, but you see that in the early church fathers, and you see that in contemporary Christians as well. But that's the whole thing. I mean, we have to grow in our relationship with the Lord, and as we grow, we become more and more firmed up and supported in the conviction that we will, like our Savior, rise immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. So think about what we read in Scripture, for example, in Hebrews chapter 2. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, speaking of Jesus Christ, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by this fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. And of course, we are Abraham's descendants because we are in Jesus Christ. And of course, Galatians 3 makes clear that those who are in Christ are the seed of Abraham and heirs according to the promise.
I'm grappling with that, and I'm starting to, I think, make some progress in that area. I guess, you know, what has always bothered me about that is separation from family and loved ones. I think that's the main thing.
Well, yeah, and that's a legitimate concern. I mean, I think about that myself. What would happen if I die? I have a lot of children. I have a lot of responsibilities, but yet on the other hand, I recognize that God holds every moment, every breath, not only in his hand but in his providential care. And so, ultimately, the more we build our relationship with the Lord, the less the sting of death has any sway over us.
Well, that's very helpful to me, Hank. Thank you very much.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Back to the phone lines. Olivia, listening in Milford, Nebraska on Butt Radio. Hi, Olivia.
Hi. I'm so glad to be on your show tonight. So, hey, I have a question. We are going through a Beth Moore Bible study of Daniel. Of course, we're to the prophecy part, Daniel 7, and I do not see eye to eye with her end times theory, and I just want to know how I can present this to our group tonight in gentleness, and I want to know if there's any commentaries out there or Bible studies that we can use to not have this viewpoint of end times.
Yeah. Well, again, I love what you said, gentleness and respect. This is a secondary issue we can debate vigorously. Ultimately, we don't have to divide over, but it does speak to how you read literature in general, how you read the book of Daniel in this particular case in particular. And I think that's really important. So you want to read all of Daniel and see what is Daniel actually aiming at? I mean, what is the central thing that Daniel is grieved about, is shaken about, is kept up at night about? Well, it's about what's going to happen 400 years hence, from his perspective, when Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes, the abomination of desolation, will desecrate the temple. And it is only through God's promise that ultimately Daniel has solace for the future, because he knows that not only is there going to be great tribulation, but there's going to be salvation, and that salvation ultimately is going to point forward to the babe of Bethlehem. So you got to kind of understand what he's pointing towards and what the end game is, and you follow that sequentially as you read through the book of Daniel. One of the resources that might be helpful in this regard is my book, Has God Spoken, where I not only deal with the succession of nations prophesied by Daniel, but also things like the abomination of desolation, so that you get a real good grasp of what that really entails, not only from the Old Testament perspective of Daniel, but Jesus looking back at Daniel, you know, where he says in the Olivet Discourse, so when you see standing in the holy place, the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand. So Has God Spoken really does shed some significant light on the book of Daniel. Also, and I mentioned this at the beginning of the show, the current edition of the Christian Research Journal, where I did an article titled, Did Daniel Accurately Predict a Succession of Nations? Kind of gives you a heads up on what's going on in terms of the sequential fulfilling of Daniel's prophecies as you read from the very beginning through the end of the book.
And I did read two of the articles in the last research journal that were very, very helpful about Daniel and the dispensationalist view. I guess, you know, are there other sources other than your book? Because I have read that book too, and that was really clear, but I just need some. I would like to have a Bible with commentaries, you know, that see, you know, a different point of view than that. And I have a HarperCollins. I don't always agree with all their commentaries. I don't think he'll ever agree with every bit of thing that's written as comments. But is there a Bible out there with commentaries that are more in tune with in what I believe?
Well, yeah, I mean, there are a lot of resources, but you have to kind of piece them together. Stephen Sizer, for example, a British theologian, has written on this subject. So there are various people who have written on this, but I don't know that there's a really good Bible commentary that is available that will give you the whole all of the pieces that you're looking for. But if you look at my book, Has God Spoken, I cite several books and articles on Daniel in the end notes. So if you have that book, you can look in the end notes and find some really good commentaries apart from, let's say, a study Bible on the book of Daniel.
Okay, right. And what do you think of Bethmore?
Well, I think she's an evangelical Christian, and I appreciate the fact that she's teaching women. And again, you know, the timing of the tribulation, the meaning of the millennium are issues that we can debate vigorously. We ultimately don't have to divide over. I disagree with her on many, many issues, though, from spiritual warfare on. But again, that does not undermine her ministry. That simply says that on secondary issues, I have some rather sharp disagreements with her.
Sure. Okay, so do I. So thank you very much.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. And as you can hear from the music, we are coming up to a station break. We'll be back on the other side of the station break with more answers to your questions. Do remember the Creation Answer book available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. For those who give a gift of $100 or more, I'll send you a personalized copy to you, a family member, or a friend, or for those who join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team. Check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Be right back in just a few moments. Stay tuned.
The things we accumulate over our lifetimes, money, personal possessions, and property, are simply gifts from God, entrusted to us to manage as His servants. When we as Christians create a will or trust, what we're really doing is planning to transfer stewardship of what God has entrusted us to others. For many of us, this may be one of the most important acts of stewardship we will ever undertake. We have made special arrangements for you to explore this stewardship responsibility. Visit our website at equiplegacy.org/EPO. There you will find the estate plan organizer. To learn more, go to equiplegacy.org/EPO. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will return after this.
It seems like a no-brainer. If God is a God of love, there's no way he'd condemn anyone to suffer eternally in hell simply for not believing in Jesus, right? Christians who believe in an eternal hell have been accused of following a cruel and unjust God. Millions of atheists claim it's the reason they can't embrace Christianity. Do we need to abandon the concept of hell? Hank's new book, Afterlife, to be released next spring, answers this and many other questions about our eternal future. But because you need to be equipped now with answers about hell, we're offering you a sneak peek booklet, Life After Life After Life, for your ministry support today. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is entirely listener-supported, so your gift matters. Be one of the first to have your copy of Life After Life After Life. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. With the vast amount of information flooding the internet, how can you determine what's true? How can you be certain that what you're viewing is reliable? Well, equip.org is a safe haven with content you can trust. Content that has been well researched and designed to deepen your discernment skills and help equip you to defend the faith. At equip.org, you can search articles, books, and videos, listen to the Bible Answer Man right from your computer, or listen to an Ask Hank program where Hank takes just a few minutes to answer important questions about the Bible and Christianity. You can also follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, read our blog, or receive special benefits by signing up for our weekly e-newsletter. Don't founder in the sea of misinformation. Make equip.org your homepage today. Again, the address is equip.org. It seems like a no-brainer. If God is a God of love, there's no way he'd condemn anyone to suffer eternally in hell simply for not believing in Jesus, right? Christians who believe in an eternal hell have been accused of following a cruel and unjust God. Millions of atheists claim it's the reason they can't embrace Christianity. Do we need to abandon the concept of hell? Hank's new book, Afterlife, to be released next spring, answers this and many other questions about our eternal future. But because you need to be equipped now with answers about hell, we're offering you a sneak peek booklet, Life After Life After Life, for your ministry support today. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is entirely listener-supported, so your gift matters. Be one of the first to have your copy of Life After Life After Life. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Does Jesus have bluish-green eyes, brown hair, and a rainbow-colored horse? Little Colton Burpo thinks so, after experiencing the equivalent of a near-death experience at the age of 3. His experience is even the subject of a best-selling book. What's really going on with near-death experiences? Find out in Life After Life After Life, the sneak peek booklet for Hank's upcoming new book on the afterlife. It's our gift in appreciation for your ministry support today. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org to give today. Now, back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. I have a full board. I'll try to get to as many calls as I possibly can in this segment, but I'm also planning on staying right here for an extra hour. Once we go off the air, we'll continue taking your calls. If you're hanging on, do be patient. And if you're dialing in for the next hour, even after we go off the air, I'll be taking calls. The number 888-ASK-HANK is the number that you can continue to dial. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Steve in Missouri. Hi, Steve.
Hey, how you doing, Hank? I've listened to your program for a long time. I've been a long-time listener and really love it.
Thank you.
And my question is, really, I've been a long-time student of Bible mysteries since I was a kid. I'm 44 years old now, and I've just kind of been obsessed with Revelations 13. And not too long ago, I think I've come across the answer to the last verse where it says, let him who hath understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the mark of mankind, 666, 600, 666. It occurred to me that carbon, which is 6 protons, 6 neutrons, and 6 electrons, is the mark of mankind. And You know, if you look at Isaiah, where he says you need to know the end from the beginning, if you go back to the beginning in Genesis, the fruit of knowledge that we weren't supposed to lay our hands on is the mark of all of our technology. And, of course, carbon is the mark of all of our technology. And then if you go to right before that verse in Revelation 13, you have a commerce system that's based on that mark. And, of course, we have the petrol bar system and the Federal Reserve and central banks who use that for every nation to buy carbon. And I was wondering what you thought about that.
Well, I can tell you beyond the shadow of a doubt that that premise is distinctly unrealistic, and it is, in fact, dead wrong. John, the author of Revelation, told a first-century audience that with wisdom and insight, they would be able to calculate the number of the beast, for it is man's number. His number is 666. And obviously, no amount of wisdom and insight would have enabled a first-century audience to calculate the number of a 21st-century beast. And I have said this many times, but I would like to underscore it in red. It would have been cruel. It would have been dangerously misleading for John to suggest to first-century Christians that they could identify the beast if, in fact, the beast was a 21st-century individual or institution. 21st-century believers, like first-century counterparts, however, can be absolutely certain that number, 666, is the number of Nero's name, and that Nero is the beast who ravaged the bride of Christ in a historical milieu that included 3.5 years of persecution, and in the end included Peter and Paul themselves, not only being persecuted, but being put to death at the hands of the beast. This was the only epoch in human history in which the beast could directly assail the foundation of the Christian church, of which Christ himself was the cornerstone. Now, I write about this in my book, The Apocalypse Code. I also have an entry on this in my book, The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition. The thing that I'd like to underscore is that this goes to the heart of learning to read the Bible for all its worth, or mine the Bible for all its wealth. John is identifying the beast as number 6 of 7 kings and identifies the number of his name. And again, he is identifying a first century beast because he's writing to 7 churches in the epicenter of a Caesar cult. So to take what John is doing in the first century and apply it to a 21st century context simply is distorting his writings. Now, all of Scripture is useful for instruction. All of it applies to us in the sense that though it was not written to us, it was written for us. Again, I've written about this in various places, including the Apocalypse Code. Want to go back to the phone lines? We'll talk next to Matthew. He's listening in Tyler, Texas on Bot Radio. Hi, Matthew.
Hey, Hank. I appreciate the time. Just a simple question, maybe not such a simple answer. Can you be a homosexual and still practice Christianity?
Well, first of all, I would argue with the premise of the question. Homosexuality is not an identity. Homosexuality is a behavior. And therefore, if you have come to faith in Christ, what you have said is, whatever my besetting sin is, I want to turn from it with God's help and follow Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. I want to do it His way as opposed to my own way. So it's a recognition that it's a sin. That does not mean that you cannot fall for the temptation of a besetting sin. Of course you can, and you are forgiven. So the point is, don't mistake a behavior for an identity. That's what the culture wants to foist on us, and that's simply selling us a bill of goods.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Thank you.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Annie. She's listening in Wichita, Kansas. Hi, Annie.
Hi, Hank. My question is about Genesis 6.
I've done a lot of research on what is a Nephilim and what is sons of God, and nothing makes any sense to me, and I don't really trust any of the resources that are out there. Could you get clue me in?
Yeah. Well, the notion that some people have in this regard, that the sons of God are fallen angels, and that they're having sex with women, as a result you have the Nephilim, I think is misguided. Remember, Genesis 6 in context is a judgment on fallen humanity. It's not a judgment on some kind of a hybrid between humans and demonic beings. Not only that, but we know on the basis of Scripture that kinds reproduce after their own kinds. And therefore, the mistaken notion with respect to the sons of God being fallen angels is untenable, it's unsupportable, and has huge ramifications. In fact, as I've pointed out in various places, including the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, drawn to its logical conclusion, it actually erodes epistemic warrant for the resurrection itself. So it has a long tail, as it were, in terms of distortion and ramifications biblically.
Okay. Can you tell me what portion of the Complete Bible Answer Book, because I just received it in the mail yesterday.
Yeah, it's
a portion you write about it.
Yeah, it's an entry that's titled "Demons Have Sexual Relations with Women" in Genesis 6:4.
Okay. I will be sure and read that tonight. Thank you very much.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Let's go right back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Brian in Sunnyvale, Texas. Hi, Brian.
Hank, I appreciate your last two answers, by the way, but my question involves some close friends who had been Southern Baptists their entire lives and started 2 or 3 years ago to go to a Messianic congregation. We visited with them one time, and over the course of this time while they were there, I get wind that they're now saying that we're bound by the Jewish ceremonial law, and things have progressed or digressed or devolved to the point where now this family has openly denied Christ and converted to Judaism. And after I heard about this, within another week, my pastor, who I consulted about this, says he has a relative that he hasn't gone that far, he doesn't think, but he fears is going in that direction. And I'm just, my question, I'm so torn up about this. I'm very angry and sad about it, but my question is, do you know of any resource or any trend or pattern or anything that could explain this? Or are there groups of Messianic congregations that steer people in that direction, or I'm at a loss.
Well, there are, and I mean, coincidence. Yeah, there are, and I think this is the ultimate problem. Certainly, there are Orthodox Messianic Jewish congregations, but the problem is when you go back to types and shadows, when the ultimate sacrificial lamb has come. And this is not just a modern-day problem. This is an age-old problem that you can trace right back to the biblical writers. The book of Hebrews, for example, deals with this problem explicitly, where people want to go back to types and shadows when the ultimate sacrificial lamb has come. And Hebrews is unmistakable in its denunciations of this kind of practice. It says that this is tantamount to trampling upon the sacred blood of Jesus Christ. So I think it's important for us to take the time to read the book of Hebrews, and then we see, wow, this was a problem in the early Christian church. It's not just a modern-day problem. The civil and ceremonial laws have been abrogated. I mean, Jesus Christ himself abrogated the civil and ceremonial laws. You think, for example, about shellfish. Now, Barack Obama thinks eating shellfish from a biblical perspective is an abomination. That is simply false. Jesus says it's not what goes into a man's mouth and out through his body that defiles him. It is that which proceeds from the heart. And in saying that, Jesus, according to Scripture, declared all foods clean. So again, the problem is an age-old problem. It's been with us since the time that the biblical writers denounced this kind of perversion to the modern epoch, where you have messianic Jewish congregations that want to go back to the type and shadow when the substance has come. I mean, why would we ever think about going back to temple, priest, and sacrifice when we are called now to holy communion? We're not called to sacrificing holy cows. We are called to holy communion. It's his broken body, shed blood for the complete remission of sins. And therefore, the Passover lamb has come, and we don't have to go back to the Passover practices.
Well, I appreciate that, and I'm going to dive into to Hebrews this day. I'm so distressed about this. I don't know what to do, and I didn't know if there was, if you'd ever heard of such a thing before on any sort of any kind of organized level or.
Well, I have, and as I said, I've heard about it not only in the present, but also heard about it in the past. Hang on, if there's something we can do for you, I have written about this in various places as well. I've got a section in which I deal with this in principle. In Has God Spoken, where I deal with the abomination of desolation. Going to stay right here for an extra hour. Once we go off the air, we'll continue taking your calls right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So if you're hanging on, be patient. I will get to you. And if you're dialing in for the next hour, this is the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. Translates to 888-275-4265. If you can support us this month, it would make a world of difference. Thank you for your prayers as well. See you tomorrow.
Thanks for tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Our website, equip.org, has an abundance of resources and information to help sharpen your discernment skills. Not only do we provide books, videos, and informative articles, but you can also listen to the broadcast live, download archived shows, get answers to pressing Bible questions, follow our blog, or connect with us on Facebook and Twitter. You can also sign up for our weekly e-newsletter and receive special benefits. All this and more at equip.org. Again, the address is equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute, a ministry supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters. It seems like a no-brainer. If God is a God of love, there's no way He'd condemn anyone to suffer eternally in hell simply for not believing in Jesus, right? Christians who believe in an eternal hell have been accused of following a cruel and unjust God. Millions of atheists claim it's the reason they can't embrace Christianity. Do we need to abandon the concept of hell? Hank's new book, Afterlife, to be released next spring, answers this and many other questions about our eternal future. But because you need to be equipped now with answers about hell, we're offering you a sneak peek booklet, Life After Life After Life, for your ministry support today. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is entirely listener-supported, so your gift matters. Be one of the first to have your copy of Life After Life After Life. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.
Are you a Christian looking for a phenomenal Bible app? The Word of Promise Bible app may be exactly what you've been looking for. You'll experience the Bible like never before. This free app includes the entire New King James Bible text with powerful search capabilities. For example, you can look for a word like love, and every verse that includes love will appear. Also included is the entire two-hour audio gospel of John featuring world-renowned actors. This two-hour audio gospel of John is fully dramatized with sound effects, with an original music score, and is synchronized to the text so that as you hear this powerful audio theater, the text appears verse by verse. Receive your free Word of Promise Bible app today at equip.org.